because they stopped kids from buying cigarettes.
Yes. and the GDP of Togo was genuinely less than the yearly annual revenue of Philip Morris Minor. The company is worth more than the entire country, and they sued this poor African country for having the gall to tell them, like, please, like, stop selling cigarettes to kids outside our schools in branded Marlboro stalls. That's all we ask. And they were like, no, fuck you. And they sued them, and they had no legal standing, but all they did was delay the case so long that Togo couldn't afford it.
Like, yeah.
And then they lost, and now just Togo kids are like, sweet, thanks for the fags. They're shockingly big tobacco. Not so easy, man.
What?
No.
Some bad eggs. Some bad apples spoiling that bunch.
I don't know, man. I think
fuck cops.
And hello and welcome to the show. We are the Grossy Crackpot Podcast.
A-cab.
I'm your host, Lonan Shirley Not Shepherd. I'm looking over here at Dylan. Don't call me Shirley Grainy. Sitting here on my right is Theo. I'm not sure our two-party system incentivized political change, Boyer. And on my left, we have the beautiful Connor.
That tickled me. That caught me. That one got me.
And today we were talking about riots. That's been in the news. Everybody's been talking about it. They're fucking everywhere. And
it's going to be a riot of a show.
Boo.
That is
boo. But yeah, so today we're going to be talking about riots, and when we were talking about this originally, when we were planning it, we wanted it, we kind of knew inadvertently we were going to end up talking about maybe all the riots that are happening in America, but then we pumped the brakes and went, hey, wait a minute, four white dudes talking about this.
Four white dudes from
not
Ireland.
In America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very detached from the situation.
I'm an ally.
Maybe we keep our fucking opinions to ourselves.
Unless
we can actually do some proper research into it. But however, what we did get interested in was just riots in general, because they're fucking super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been in? I think a few of us actually have direct experiences.
I've never been in a riot, but I have been beaten up by the cops.
So I know hasn't been beaten.
That is an actual fact.
Same thing, really. When you get into it, you know.
Shouldn't have been so illegal,
one,
man.
One man riot, boys.
Stop being crime. You
know? Yeah, the French cops actually made me cry like twice with that. You know that crying gas that they use. makes you
like champa. I remember every fucking time you went to France, you kept texting me like, "Yeah, I got tear gas again."
Okay, so like I wasn't at any of the Yellow Vest Movement marches in Paris. I was in Toulouse, but like getting tear gassed is like, you know, when you're really drunk and you're just about to vomit, and you get that really awful sensation that is like the vomit coming up. It is like that. But as long as you are in the gas.
Wow.
I never got tear gas. That's horrible, man.
That sucks.
Every time I need to cry, I just go to Aldi and I chug that No More Tears shampoo. And I'm good for the day, man. You know what I mean?
Every time I want to cry, I just think about my actions.
That sounds fucking awful, man. Sounds like a real fucking
punch. The thing is, like, okay, so I have friends in France who took me on these marches. They weren't super riots. I mean, there was people smashing windows and stuff and police gassing them, but it was in the French way, which is...
The French day-to-day is a fucking riot. There's never been a riot in
France. That is exactly what it is. Every Saturday, my friends just go on the march, and every Saturday, they will get tear gassed by the police eventually.
So expensive.
It's literally... They go on the peaceful march, it goes around and around, and then... Literally, the police get bored and it's like, it's time to go home, start gassing, and that's it. And they were so used to it. All my friends
release the protest gas.
Tea time.
Tea time. What These are French people.
Oh, sorry.
Le café.
Well, coffee time.
Time to go invade Vietnam.
Connor with a far left punch.
You're punching colonize the French. It. That's essentially like punching him.
Connor, we're not supposed to punch down.
What do your friends do to prevent the fence?
Poor little me, you know, innocent little me. I'll go on the march, and they were like, have some vinegar and a scarf, and this is what...
No, I have Irish food, thank we'll you. We'll give you.
Of course, all my friends have the ski goggles, the mask, and you put a little bit of vinegar on a towel, and you put it over your face to neutralize the gas somewhat.
Yeah.
Works a little bit, but naive me walking around...
raising go. He's like, everyone's just like real nice, and people are kind. Nice.
And then,
come on, man, that's not crunchy. It's just this fucking like 6 foot tall riot cop. Come on, just get along.
And that keeps happening, man.
It's, it keeps happening.
In the States, just like on the knees, like, you know, this is all love, man. I'm not here in
violence. Get Kylie Jenner to give a fucking Pepsi can to a guy trying to shoot
when the world needs her most. Like, where is she? Sorry, go on.
Anyway, yeah. So the gas comes down, and obviously you're near vomiting, and you're. Okay, I'm not ashamed to admit.
You're probably going to piss yourself.
Hard.
No, I didn't piss.
Hard like a rock.
I cried.
Rock hard.
I cried. I admit that on the podcast because it was.
Well, yeah, man, that's what the gas does.
I cried in a documentary the last day because I was kind of hungover and sad.
I came back from a party and crying.
Yeah. Whoa.
We're sad.
Okay, go. All right, sad boy podcast. Well,
were the French police gassing you or something? Or you just,
oh, no, man, I have a great time.
Anyway,
no one can hurt me the way I hurt me.
We digress.
I don't know, a riot cop could try. Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, they pick their poor friend up by the shirt and say, "Come on this way, we'll get you out of the gas," and you get out of the gas. But the strange thing is, in France in general, there's such an etiquette behind the riot. Like, I had the luxury of going through the march with a friend of mine who does this every Saturday, and he's like, "Be very calm. Whatever you do, do not run. Do not panic," because that's what the cops are trying to do. So you have this huge march of people, and then the cops will shave off a little bit, and then they'll gas them a lot, and then hopefully they'll go home, because this is the tactics. And your job as like a manifestant is to not go home. Yet you have to find a way to rejoin the march. And the French riot cops, they're bad, but you're not that scared of them because they've got special training. But France, of course, France at the time, they didn't have enough riot cops, so they got the normal policemen, and they gave them sticks.
Oh, nice. No.
Nice.
And you know, we're walking past the riot cops, and they're like, these guys, they're okay, they're not going to do anything stupid. Those guys over there with the sticks and, like, the jeans,
this goon squad.
Yeah.
It's essentially that. They don't know how to act in a riot, and they panic, and they're scared, and they beat the shit into people all of the time.
Those cops are fucking shitty, man.
Because they're like, well, they're gonna do it to me because they're like, you as a cop, you're trained to be like us versus them.
Yeah.
Mm. So if I was on their side, I'd want to hurt me.
Yeah.
So I better hurt
them
first.
Yeah, but I'm not an asshole who does this, though.
I'm on your side, then, and I still want to hurt everybody in this fucking room.
One of our friends works in Cali in the refugee camps. We all know her, like, you know, she goes over
Never
there.
Never heard of her.
And the guards, like the French guards go in there, French cops go in there, and like every 2 weeks they'll just like gas hundreds of protesters, kick the shit out of them and turf them out, you know what I mean? Mm. And like totally uproot the refugee camps out of pure, like...
Just fucking Frenchness.
Yeah, and a Frenchness.
Did I say Frenchness? I meant, you know...
Hey, it's a real... It's not a French attitude. It's a real Parisian attitude.
It's not a French... Yeah. Like, the French are badass in terms of their constant civil unrest.
Oh, they'll riot at the drop of a hat.
They're just like striking like nobody's business.
The drop of a beret, and they'll just fucking kick off. Like,
they're very... my favorite instance of, like, French, or in general, kind of, like, civil, like non-violent civil disobedience was when... The French government started like unfairly clamping vehicles excessively and fining people, which we had in Ireland too, and kind of still have, because they privatized their clamping, company. So there was an incentive to clamp cars that were parked illegally. So instead of it being, you know, a public service by the government, there was like, you know, a race to clamp as many cars as possible. So instead of like writing letters to the government like we did in Ireland, the French just en masse all around the country in different provinces started chewing gum and fucking sticking the gum in the clamps. It was way too expensive. They bankrupted several clamping companies.
That's beautiful.
It was fucking sweet, man. That's awesome. That's France. So they get together and
I genuinely have a lot of like, I make fun of the French because it's easy. It's low hanging fruit, but I have.
We're just Americanized, man. Yeah. It's like, oh, cheesy.
Yeah, exactly.
Country with the largest fucking imperial like military history, a bad but fucked up one, but like, you know,
fairly successful though.
Yeah, yeah, long, whatever. Yeah.
Fucking the way they protest is the way I wish it is Irish people 100%, protest,
because they have that. There's that French passion.
Well, yeah. I will say that
give a shit, like, you know,
from a criminological kind of point of view, the study of riots, oddly enough, or has its origins in France. Like the main.
No.
Yeah, I know. What
La guillotine?
Yeah, like
French,
what a shock.
France is just fucking gets and berets, man. You can't tell me otherwise. Like, you know.
There was a guy called Gustave Le Bon, and he was like one of the early French theorists who described like the early kind of like riot theory. And how do you call it? He called it the loss of personality or the lowering of intelligence of the group mind, of kind of the group. And this, like, theory at the time was just basically, and people describe
this.
It's
like, poor people don't know how to do things respectfully.
But there is some, like, anecdotal kind of stuff that does kind of make sense, because, like, crowd psychology is interesting.
Because that's what, I don't mean to interrupt, but, like, I've always heard the opposite of that. It's like, rioting is, like, the last voice of the voiceless.
Yeah, it's the voice of the oppressed sort of thing. But, like, people do, like, anecdotal. I saw a really fun interview with a guy during the London riots who was basically saying, he was like, I don't really know what came over me, but it was just sort of a thing that was happening. And he was like, it was real fun. And he just sort of kind of got into it and he's smashing a whole bunch of shit. And that theory is kind of, like, now gone by the wayside because it's, like, a little kind of limiting. It's like, basically, everyone gets dumb when they're in a crowd.
Yeah, mom and daddy kind of shit. Like,
yeah, but they've kind of come up with, like, more, like, criminology. Like, the psychology of riots has kind of gone a lot further with how it kind of works. But the main theory now that is really kind of popular and makes a lot of sense, they call it extended social identity model.
Cool.
So that rather than everyone actually being, like, group mind stupid, what it is that the group itself actually has a lot of coherence and internal values. And what ended up, the one good example of this, there was like a kind of a Muslim protest in London where they were coming down hard on them for something that was going on. And a bunch of the younger guys started trying to smash up a van. And then within the crowd dynamic, and this is
the whole crowd turns on them. Like,
the whole crowd.
Stop fucking, you're making us look bad. Like, you know, turn on them.
And it's like, well, there you go. Different values within the group that is happening.
Shockingly, it's not like, you know, anyway, you can't blame the entire protest for
But the group was able to actually maintain and control itself. But what ended up happening is once the first cop bet up one of the protesters, what it created was a group identity amongst the main group itself. And it immediately just created us and them. When before it was like, wait a minute, I'm not cool with the smashing of windows or whatever the fuck. I'm here to protest. I have my own internal values. But as soon as that baton hits you on the head, now it's you versus the cop.
You realize the serve and protect is only serving and protecting a few. And you're like, well, fuck you. If I'm not one of you.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
Fucking.
And you know what I find interesting is that, like, this is a common talking point among centrists and the far right and, you know, police supporters. They'll say, like, well, how is it okay to say, oh, you can't blame the protesters, you know, for the actions of a few rioters, you know, like, but you can blame the police for the actions of a few police. But the difference is, name one time, like, that all of, like, a big group of police officers have turned against, you know, a handful of cops beating up anybody. It's never happened.
No,
ever.
No.
You can't scour the internet for days. You won't find it, man. There's, you know, every now and again, there's one whistleblower and they get fucking railed by the entire system. But you never get multiple cops.
Because the cops, like, already have that group.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, the group and
that's
them.
That's the difference. Like, you know, you can have, like, the quote unquote bad apples in a protest, but, like, oftentimes the other protesters will go on social media and say, that was wrong, I disagree with this, I don't stand for that. No. That never happens with cops, never. Ever. And that's the difference.
You go to the riots in America for a second, there's, like, a streamer who was, like, live streaming the riots, and he was like, yeah, guys, let's fucking flip this car. And he was like, excuse me, what?
And
like,
that guy was
he's like, you're a fucking provocateur. And he's like, she's fucking legs.
Yeah, he was friends with Ice Poseidon. He's a fucking.
He's a
far right troll. Horrible human being. Yeah. And he's putting on also, to my knowledge, putting on a fake French accent, and he's actually American, which is really fucking weird and sort of.
I mean, it's
weird.
Pretty cuddly. It's cheesy thing.
But yeah, it's real, like, identity protection. He's like pretending to be a French. I don't know. It's pretending to be a Frenchman while.
It's because he only knows riots from movies.
Well, he's a dick anyway.
Well, basically, when it comes to kind of the psychology of it, like, it's not something I study specifically. Like, group psychology is a thing you can do in criminology because, like, just how the herd moves.
Well, it's an important thing to understand.
Yeah, but it's something that I only kind of got I only really looked into through researching for this episode. And basically, what a lot of it is trying to do now, which is kind of moving from the fact that we all, like, everyone just in a crowd becomes animals, now it turns into this, like, once you create an us and them kind of paradigm, that's where the violence really happens. People are now just applying that, as you said, very effectively to the cops because they have the most collective identity. They have the uniforms. They have the this is our tribe immediately. And that makes them more prone to violence because the thing is, like, you never, like, the crowd can have, like, a crowd of protesters, pre-rioters. They're not, they have loads of different identities. They have loads of different things going on. And it's only through once you create a really solid group identity, then it becomes battlefield, you know, in that. So we basically had to just, like, we did all this study on, like, the crowd itself and then went, hey, how about we apply that to the cops who are beating up the people? And then it makes a whole lot of fucking sense.
You know,
also remember that I think it's in California that it takes 3 times as much study to become a barber as it does to become a policeman.
I didn't know that, but that's
like,
fucking
you get you, it's right. Like, what it's like a couple of weeks training to become a cop.
It's about five to six months
in other which times. Is mental because, like, in most of Europe, including Ireland and mainland Europe, Europe, it's like 2 to 3 years and you get a degree.
Yes, yeah. Yes, man.
You should have a law degree. Yeah. You should have a law degree if you're going to be out there beating people based upon the law. Yeah. Like,
but,
it's a,
but then how enforce white supremacy? How do? Can't do. Not possible. No, thank you. You know, yeah.
It's amazing because the people who get all those law degrees tend to be like, wait a minute.
Sound, you know, yeah, yeah, like, actually not total pieces of shit. Like, you know,
maybe just beating up people randomly on the street is bad.
Sounds, you know, kind of hold legal. On.
I've just learned about systematic oppression.
Yeah, that's a whole fucking thing. So yeah,
yeah, no, there you go, man.
It's an interesting thing, and I suppose like one of the things that we were all kind of, when we were researching this, we came up with like kind of the aspect, like obviously you have like the psychology of what's going in, but the technology, the fucking shit they're coming up with, horrifying. It's just nuts. Like
that big sonic weapon, they imagine that tank in like that, and that was actually a few years ago.
Yeah, they're using them in. Oh, sorry, they're using them at the moment in I think it's Atlanta.
Yeah.
I, during the quarantine, have downloaded TikTok because it's short bursts of dopamine.
It's like from true
my,
news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like small bursts of dopamine from my sad brain.
You know, my news from TikTok.
But like, there's a load of protesters who are now like strapping phones to themselves and live streaming from TikTok and stuff because it's the only way to get the news out there because the reporters aren't going to do it.
If somebody takes a phone and smashes it, then it's already live streaming for sure. Like,
but they are like taking pictures of like, I was about to say tanks, but they're not tanks. They're armored,
yeah,
quote unquote armored vehicles.
They're mine resistant APCs. Yes,
but they have fucking.
They're landmine resistant.
They have these big things that look like old school, like white fluorescent bulbs. They're actual like sound things.
Yeah, it's this big circular, like kind of 5 foot in circumference, mounted like weapon.
Yeah, it looks like the face of a drum.
It's called an ADS, which is referred to as an active denial system, which was came up by the RAND Corporation like years and years ago, which of course it was the fucking RAND Corporation. And they can be
real cool dudes.
Yeah, oh, cool. Yeah, name Let's yourself after fucking Ayn Rand bullshit. But, like immediately.
My favorite fact.
Were they named after Ayn Rand?
I actually don't know that, but somebody said that to me once, and I was like, it's not true. It's an interesting word. It makes sense.
But just to wrap that up, like these guys riding on top of these ATVs with a big kind of floodlight looking thing. With a sonic weapon that like very very seriously injures people, it's so loud you have to leave. But if somebody were to fall down and that vehicle kept coming towards them, they would be very seriously hurt.
It can like rupture your tissue.
Yeah, big time. You know. And but like, was it you that was saying this to me yesterday, man? That like you can actually deflect that sound with like.
No, that was Lonan.
Yeah, no, it's like one of the things they found, because there's a sonic version of the ADS system, and then there's the heat ray version of it, which is just sounds wacky as fuck.
Yeah, but the death ray.
The heat ray basically it like heats up your atoms, my atoms.
Cool.
It's literally like a microwave.
It's a microwave. Yeah.
A concentrated microwave.
So it heats you up, and it's the feeling that like you're standing in front of like a roaring furnace. So it's not enough really to kill. You it's not enough to leave permanent damage, but it is enough to really make you seriously uncomfortable really quite quickly
and a shocking
amount of pain. But everyone's like, oh, this is a great way just to kind of clear a crowd. It's like, yeah, that's technically true, but like, and they're like, it's less than lethal, which is the phrase that they use,
because they can't use non-lethal anymore because there's been so many deaths
because it keeps killing people, and they can't use non-lethal on this because everyone is like, well, if you're just gonna like make everyone feel like they're inside of a microwave really really quickly, people are going to panic. People are going to run. People are going to trample each other.
And that's where the death comes from. A really funny aspect of this stuff is the economics. Because if you spend so much money developing this weapon, it has to be used. Taking it back to France for one more second. So in France, they're using this type of grenade, which is called a grenade des encerclantes, which means a disencircling grenade. It's basically a grenade which explodes like a grenade and sends rubber bullets out in a crowd.
Yep.
Now, France brought a load of these and then made them illegal because they're fucking
dangerous.
They're dangerous. But then the state of emergency gets declared, and to justify their expenditure of so much money on purchasing so many of these things, the cops are being told, use them. So you're supposed to use them as a policeman if you're... like encircled by the crowd and you're like really fucked.
But I bet they're just fucking them into
the crowd. People are losing hands. People are losing eyes.
You can deliberately surround the crowd, force them into a little group, and then reinforce your budgetary need for grenades by making a crowd of protesters who can't escape anywhere because you've crawled.
That's pure, unfiltered bureaucracy.
No, man, it's like,
where you're gonna go, I've spent so much money that I have to prove that I needed to spend
If the
this
only
money.
Thing you have is a hammer, then all your problems look like nails. Yeah. So it's just like you're just...
A non-fucked up version. That's still kind of fucked up. But like one example of this is our local Galway County Council in Ireland, where like we have the council. I know from people who work on the council who have said to me, and from separate sources, they have to spend their budget every year or they get less budget. So they actually have to like meet last year's budget and demonstrate the fact that they need that much money per year.
If not more.
And that's why, like, council workers have told me, yeah, that's why we built that roundabout for no reason. We dug up the road and caused traffic and roadworks and, like, blocked off the road to, quote-unquote, dig up pipes, just dig up the road, replace a perfectly functional pipe with another pipe, and then put it back down.
Because there could come a time when you actually need that money and you don't have it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but so, this is all just fairly annoying, but, like, relatively benign, just administrative bureaucracy and horseshit. When this is like, hey, we've got all these hand grenades, and, like, if we don't throw these hand grenades at hippies now, we might have less of them next year.
We might want them later.
But once again, it's, like, the exact opposite of what happened in one of the states in... America, where they're like, from now on, during these protests and riots, we're not going to use tear gas anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop using tear gas. And everyone's like, oh, fucking, that's real cool. Like, fair play. But it turned out they stopped using tear gas because they ran out of their year's supply.
Oh, wow. They just used a shit ton of tear gas.
They used all of their tear gas.
Yeah, I actually came across something really interesting, like, in terms of, like, how government officials in America respond to this type of bureaucracy. Because, like, a bunch of Like, you can't gas people in war anymore. That's a massive war crime.
You can't tear gas people.
Yeah.
With the product that is officially known as tear gas.
Yeah. So it's like they can't really do that. But basically the Americans got caught out in doing something called the Sunshine Project, in which that it was a university that was funded to make crowd control weapons that used like a camative drug agent. Mm-hmm. And this actually harps back to our boy Wouter Basson from our bioweapons episode back in the day. Where
super cool guy that Wouter Basson.
Yes. Yeah. MD bombs. Yep. I bombed some MD in my time. Yep. You know,
he was a real piece of shit. But it was actually part of his research in which that he was trying to come up with like gene specific weaponized drugs and viruses, in which that it would only affect a particular phenotype when it could identify
poor people
it.
Or black people or Latinos.
For clarification, this was a South African.
He was a eugenicist, wasn't he?
Biologist and eugenicist in a part of the area, South Africa, who was hired by the government to develop viruses that would only target black people, that would sterilize black people, that would kill black people. He tried to kill Nelson Mandela with poisoned hair cream.
Yeah.
He ran, quote unquote, like HIV clinics that were set up just to sterilize black people, which he did en masse. And then he became one of the world's largest ever narco traffickers. And now he is
made some of the best MD you ever probably tasted in the 90s.
Yep. He aerosolized MDMA in tear gas for riot police, which again was distributed around the world. And he now works as a heart surgeon in South Africa. He's still alive.
He's out there.
A fucking doctor.
If you had a real good time in the...
Oh, yeah, he murdered his lawyer. That was the other one.
He
as
did
well.
Murder his lawyer.
We don't... Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I mean, you know... Where's his lawyer, though? where did he go?
If you had a real good time in, like, the early 90s on some, like, fucking... amazing yolks.
Primo apartheid
fucking
yolks.
Ecstasy pills.
Yep.
They came from that war criminal.
Wouter Basson, man. He was a fucked up guy.
But yeah, so his research basically was the kind of the... you could kind of call it like the bedrock in which like the Sunshine Project was doing a lot of its research. Because his research, like, they couldn't get it to work properly in South Africa. At least that's what he claimed during the Truth and Reconciliation Project, which is horseshit. They definitely got it to work. And the people who ended up actually perfecting it are the Israelis. Because the Israelis actually managed to create, it was like a type of drug that did only specifically affect people that had an Arab phenotype.
Really?
I wonder who that was for.
Yeah, exactly, right?
The Egyptians. Shit, man, that's crazy, yeah.
No, so the Americans got kind of caught out in it. But what I thought was interesting is that even though they got caught out, and this was like obviously a big kick up because it's like, you know, crazy illegal and morally wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it was really fucking wrong.
No.
It was interesting. Government officials who kind of like blew the whistle on this, who were against this in America, who legitimately kind of took a stand on this, what they said is that they were receiving unsolicited offers about such products that they had never heard of and that shouldn't have been allowed to have been researched or sold in America at all.
Like,
so basically these weird camative drugs for crowd control suppression that has its origins in fucking South African apartheid and eugenics. And it was like, they were like, we don't know where this shit is coming from, but we're still getting ads from private military corporations that we don't fucking know.
Being like, hey, buddy, I heard you want some of this.
Yeah, and trying to sell it to them. And it's like, these are just the government officials who came out and said, hey, this is happening to us. And there were the guys who were brave enough to say, this is fucking wrong. Who are these people? Imagine all the fucking people who were like, yeah, sure. Sure thing, buddy.
Like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, we got some sort of weird weaponized Valium that only affects black people. I'll take it.
Yeah, big time.
So it's a pretty fucked shit.
Yeah. And to wrap that last thing up, it's an interesting thing to note, and maybe a useful thing to note, that those sonic weapons can be, as you were saying, deflected by smoke and fog.
Yeah, they had like...
It'd have to be fog, not smoke, because they're used in tandem with smoke. I'd assume it's something to do with like the denseness of the water.
A $16 million fucking aerial denial system that they had made, which was just a fucking unbelievable... That's not Orient Decast. That's the building of the fucking truck. Mm. And it was like $16 million, and they rolled this thing out, and then some fog came and it fucked the thing, and all the cops started getting heat rage.
Yeah. Good. It's just fucking beautiful.
Like, fuck you guys, you fucking assholes.
Roast pig.
This is some high podcast discourse, but you see that meme where it's like a cop, I think in Bulgaria, accidentally putting his pepper spray on the ground.
Fuck me, I won't do what I tell me.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Rage that shit up, man. It's fucking quality, like, you know.
So yeah, that's good. Like the technology that they're kind of using is crazy unethical, and it's got a whole bunch of problems with it. But like any like modern piece of like you know, like riots or sort of you know, kind of authoritarian kind of move, it'll have an evolution to it, but the resistance will also kind of have an evolution to it. And there is some fucking novel and genius like kind of means of resistance that people have come up. Because if you're dealing with like a government who's willing to fucking drop $16 million a truck on a fucking heat ray, you know, you kind of go like, how the fuck are you going to beat that? And then you're kind of go, well, actually, people are pretty fucking crafty.
It's weird because like, the way you phrase that makes it sound like we're fighting comic book villains.
Yeah, like, I mean,
Dr. Octopus is just like...
Like, you say that, and then you see a bunch of fucking black clad, like, pretty much so, like armed soldiers with a sonic weapon a heat ray coming down the fucking street, disperse citizens, and you're like, oh, shit, man.
Maybe I am fighting Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
Holy shit. If he was a politician.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's happened before.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Spider-Man.
I'd vote for an octopus, man. I have no sense. I don't know what I'm doing.
What is the policy?
I don't care.
Oh, that's an octopus I'd have a beer with.
But one of the things that I was reading when I was doing research for this is that I ended up reading a research paper by the RAND Corporation about like where they think, you know, the kind of modern crowd control technology is going. And what's really frustrating in the their research paper is that they make no distinction between warfare and riot control. Mm. So they don't make any distinction.
It's a forward slash.
Yeah, it's a forward slash.
They're already acting as if they are an occupying force.
Yes, absolutely. And they really don't see the need to really distinguish between the two. Really,
they're a big corporation that has like a lot of mining operations and stuff, and they also operate think tanks. Oh. And that's such think tank doublespeak.
Yeah,
like,
very much so.
They've got that geopolitical bird's eye view where they're looking at this phrasing, and it's like, no, it's not even mask off. It's the wrong way to put it, but they like. They're not
even wearing a mask.
No, they're just selling this.
They're not trying to hoodwink anyone. They're saying, you know, like urban warfare slash
riot control, crowd control.
Yeah, they're just like this is essentially from a purely objective point of view the same thing from, and we're just trying to geopolitically manipulate the situation. You know what I mean?
And they are actively shitless at some of the things that like people can actually come up with, particularly with the advent of like really, really kind of malleable technology that people are using. And in Hong Kong, one of the things that I wouldn't say it's novel because it's actually fucking genius. Some mysterious educator in his 40s came up with a system called Orca. And Orca, basically, he was seeing a lot of panic and anxiety from the people who were protesting.
Which is understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was rough out there. And he noticed that, like, pretty much everyone had a phone and a camera, and people were live streaming this all the time. There's actually kind of a fun video where you can see that there's an old man. He's, like, videoing himself, and he, like, shouts. He's videoing a video that he's looking at of the riot outside. And he shouts at the window, and you can hear it reverberate through the loop that he's kind of created his thing. So basically, he just shouts out in Chinese, like, fuck the cops, and it just reverberates.
Nice.
Like,
yeah.
He's got his whole thing going.
Yeah.
But what your man notices, like, this is an extremely good opportunity in which to kind of use all of this, like, live feed, proper meta analysis of data that was kind of out at all time. Cool. So he came up with Orca, which is obviously to do with orca whales and their, like, groupthink and echolocation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that you could get on your iPad that allowed you to track who also had that app on their thing, so that it was a way of knowing that, like, you and that was your buddy, like a little basically green dot would ping up, and it was a good way of trying to find if there was an agent provocateur who was there, who was not, because they didn't ping up on the radar. And not only that, when, let's say, the cops ran you eventually, what you were able to see in real time was where your people were going and where they were running into more cops.
Big old number.
Yeah. So it was like you would see like just like the stream of your people run into one area and just stop dead, and you would be like, that's a fucking dead end.
Surely cops could just get the app though, no?
Apparently it was like it was such peer to peer basic level of encryption. It was a really simple, really rudimentary kind of piece of technology that it was kind of hard to crack.
It makes sense because like,
everybody like
that's perfect. That's perfect China, because in like the States at the moment, like all of the agent provocateurs are wearing like white armbands, and people are like, "That's a cop.
Why?
That's a cop.
Why are they doing that's, that?
So probably, they can identify each other.
Yeah. That's doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like not protests that are happening this year, but I think it was a couple of years ago, a lot of agent provocateurs got called out at protests.
Mm. Yeah.
And they had to like pull out their fucking
in
guns.
In fucking Miami or something. I saw that like, video. That was hard. That was insane, awesome. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
So now they all wear the armbands so that they know that their buddies are also around.
Yeah.
But people are like, fucking, that's a, no one in this protest is wearing special colored armbands.
Apparently in one protest alone in Hong Kong, 600,000 people downloaded the app in real time to get the maps of things that were as they were going. Yeah. And they basically just completely outmaneuvered the cops in the entire time.
It's beautiful.
They know what they're doing over there, and they're like, they are...
Well, they had to evolve real quick, because like, my mate, I'm not going to name his name, because he's a teacher, was over in Hong Kong when first transaction of possibly giving Hong Kong back to China happened.
Right.
And like the protests were like, you know, real calm, real collected. It was like just fine. And then
like 6 months ago or something. Yeah,
it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even 2 years ago now, actually. But then like it just escalated and escalated and escalated. Like it was peaceful gatherings of protesters, and the cops were just like absolutely not.
Yeah.
Crushed dissent.
Yeah.
And that's when the umbrellas started coming. That's when like the
this
fucking
is the social identity.
It's an interesting like disconnect, because like there is something to be said for like them hiring, I don't know, like social workers and or psychologists to actually inform them of how to like de-escalate things. They're not interested, even kind of to their detriment. They're actually like working against their own interests. Like it's a, you guys say that phone call that Trump had with the governors and heads of police in the US that got leaked to the New York Times.
It's like fucking crushed them.
Crushed the resistance, locked them all up. And it's not very practical. It's kind of like, it seems to be coming from an emotional, like kind of offended standpoint where like, how dare they, like, you know?
Again, it's the, if you have is a hammer, all your problems are nails.
Yeah. You don't want the serfs.
But like, throw the serfs a bone, don't beat them up, you'll pacify them. No. They're actually...
But why throw them a bone? We've never thrown them a bone before.
Just fucking stomp them, yeah.
But this is very different between China and America. In China, China runs itself on being the perfect state where every citizen is content and they can't...
And that's true, and they are. It's totally fine.
There's literally only one union that is run by the state, so don't worry about it. Totally socialist.
Groovy.
Socialist, guys.
Yeah.
But like, if people are protesting, that means the government...
has done something possibly wrong.
Is lying.
Mm. There are no sins in heaven sort of logic.
The Chinese
government can't admit it. Mm. It's literally a case of like, we cannot admit that this is wrong. But also you've got the fact that the world's eyes are on Hong Kong and definitely were on Hong Kong. And it's like, China can't use the brutal force that it is kind of used to.
That it totally wants to.
That it totally wants, and would probably use in any other fucking situation, but
they legally can't at the moment, because Hong Kong still hasn't has been completely co-opted by China yet.
I mean, like, they still can and just fucking get away with it. Like, who's going to intervene, you know what I mean?
I mean, the new laws that have been brought into Hong Kong or are being brought into Hong Kong.
Or being brought into.
The, you know, anybody who's a national security threat can be arrested and...
put into a labor camp.
Transported to China for trial.
But that's...
with a 99% conviction rate. But what is...
Rock solid.
Let me ask you, my friend. What is someone who poses a national security risk? Well, it's someone who criticizes... the state of China.
Mm-hmm.
Protesters are criticizing the state of China. The state that is, yes.
Yeah. To be fair, they're a fucking state.
The issue, with that was the case that they predicated that legislation off was a murder. There was a guy who, like a guy in Hong Kong, who murdered.
Didn't he kill someone in China and then ran to Hong Kong?
Yes, yeah. And like, obviously that's a fair case for extradition, but then China was like, okay, well, we need to be able to extradite everyone from Hong Kong because this could happen at any point. And they used that case to kind of like, 100% to kind of shoehorn.
It's like, cool, yeah, use those emergency powers. Now stop using those emergency powers.
What
are you talking about? These are just our powers.
Yeah. So that's.
But speaking of Hong Kong, I believe you have something interesting to say.
Yeah, I met last year before, you know, we all were locked up in a tiny room with people that we can't stand.
I was locked in a room by myself, and I hate me.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
I met a girl who was one of the protesters in Hong Kong, but she had to flee Hong Kong. Basically, what happened is she
dissented.
She gave an interview saying, this is the situation in Hong Kong, very reasonable. We do not like the way the Chinese government is handling things. This is a bad thing.
Basically doing what she was allowed to do under Hong Kong law literally 2 years ago.
Yes, exactly. And then the social media threats from the government came, the harassment, and it was like, I've got to leave, otherwise I will be
put in a work camp. If not, just executed.
And this is someone who has seen Hong Kong going from, like, in 1997, the one of the most free places in the world, to literally...
Dare I say, please, state or China?
They are one and the same.
What do you mean, dare I say? It's being co-opted.
Okay, fine.
Like the blob.
I dare say.
And it's really fucking shit because, you know, she had to leave her home and her place.
She's basically in exile from the Chinese government. Like,
for saying what they were doing. Like, I mean...
It's not like she was one of the protesters out there no-scoping cops with the archery team.
Which was hella cool.
She's like, hey, I live in this place and there's some bad stuff happening and people are getting hurt.
It's literally just like, this is what's happening. It's not even really that much of a hot take.
Knock her up. Fuck's sake.
It's so fucked.
So...
I mean, I slanted the Irish government all the time.
Oh, man. But, preaching to the choir.
I mean, it's great, you know, and you know what
they're
not going
to
do?
They'll be sending you to the Mayo work camps any day now.
There's no work in Mayo.
Move that pile of rocks from there to there. Okay, great. Now move it back again.
So you were chatting to this person.
Anyway, I made friends with it. And yeah, it was just shocking the way that, like, This is what it is. This is the reality of the situation. China is taking over this freedom-loving city full of freedom-loving people. And I hate to use the word freedom because it's associated with
Americans,
America, which is really gross. But, like, it was a very liberal place and it was a very nice place by her account. And now it's gone. And she has seen the deterioration of human liberties.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, like, going back to my mate who used to live there, it's like Hong Kong was a crazy liberal place. Like, they had, like, open gay bars and stuff and, like, a huge gay scene, which now can't exist because in China are no gay people.
Okay.
Honestly, I didn't really ever consider what the kind of LGBT kind of scenario was in China. I guess I just sort of instinctively assumed it was bad.
I never
once even asked, but I was like, that's probably tanky
communism and LGBT do not go
tankies are just one step below fucking Nazbols, man.
It's this whole thing. But, like, was she actually ever in, if you know this at all, was she ever actually involved in any sort of demonstrations or protests?
She was involved in a lot of the peaceful protests.
Yeah.
But her face was on the video, and that's how they knew her.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you can't...
Through facial recognition, do you reckon, or just from...
She probably gave her name, and they put a face to the name, and you're like, bang, we find you.
Yeah, regular
style. And that's fucking rough. Because, like, but, like, I guess it's like you said there, it's like watching this place that had this, like, liberal attitude and it had, like, a lot of the freedoms that we kind of enjoy and has a lot of the values that we kind of hold dear. And then watching it quite quickly shift from that to, like, something that is really...
Not even shift, just like a hard, like, stop.
It's a right turn.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely not. You know all the things you grew up with? Fuck you.
And the resistance...
It's hard to swallow that, like, you know.
But that's, I guess what I wanted to say is that, like, this shit is coming around the bend and it's coming around the bend in more and more sophisticated kind of ways. Like, like, she didn't really do anything particularly... She didn't do anything wrong. No, she's a fucking exile out of her country. And it's like, she got to watch the collapse of these things that she thought was really, really important. But what we're going to see is, like, I guess, is that this turn can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it is becoming more and more... I wouldn't even... Like, likely kind of almost sounds like fear-mongering. But reading through some of the kind of the tech that, like, the Chinese are implementing to, like, stoke riots to give themselves justifications
to use more force
and to use more authoritarian measures, you're like, that shit is popular globally. Like, that is happening across the board.
Like, this is a thing that we're seeing crop up in countries around the world kind of at the same time. The right is on the rise once again, like, you know what I mean?
No. Do you have more to add from that interview particularly?
Yeah, I have one last thing. So basically I asked her, can you describe in your own words how Hong Kong has changed since the exchange? And she has replied, very succinctly, humans right-wise, human rights wise, it has fallen into deep shit. And yes, this sums up basically the whole situation. They were a people who had freedom, and now China has put their little tiny hands in and crushed it. Mm. It's bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
And I don't know. I think it's about to get a whole lot fucking worse, because like, cool. It's a fun podcast. Yeah.
But comedy.
Oh man, like when I was reading that Rand Corporation's like fucking weird dystopian research paper, and they're like the modern urban battlefield / crowd control techniques of 2033.
Jesus fucking Christ,
you know,
man,
and that's just publicly available.
The urban battle.
This is what we do in our spare time when we're not strip mining Canada. Hi, we're the Rand Corporation. You know, Jesus, man.
Like in this study, they've specifically referenced the prevalence and emerging prevalence of 3D weapon printing for using the bombs and clubs and all that sort of stuff. The fact that crowds will start like rioters will start using drone chemical delivery systems against the cops. Groovy. And one thing, of course they will.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah, they definitely will, and that's why they have.
Yeah,
to
it's definitely
it
not
first.
Like the weird far right fucking lunatics with the ones 3D printing guns.
And one thing that they specifically said that they have to get out ahead of the rioters before the rioters get their hands on this is DNA cloning technology that they must research, because criminals will use it to fabricate evidence. That is from the research paper.
So we need to know how to fabricate evidence that can frame somebody, because leftist protesters are gonna open up DNA sequencing labs in the lefty camps in that fucking Occupy Wall Street fucking shanty town of tents. You know, they're sequencing our DNA to frame us for crimes. So we have to know how to frame them for crimes, but not for crime though. We're not doing crimes. It's the leftist scientists.
This is like Alex Jones' logic. It's like everything they say I'm doing, they are doing.
Yeah, but like it's not logic. It's double speak, straight up.
It is government
that is
double speak.
Horrifying, because they have so much money behind them, man.
Yes.
I wonder where 23andMe came from.
Yes,
seriously,
all of that.
You know, especially the ones that are free. Like, why would it be free?
Why?
Man?
I didn't even know.
Oh, just give me your spit, bro. It's totally cool.
I did not know there was free. Like,
there are free DNA sequencing. DNA analysis, like heritage analysis companies. Why do you think they want your DNA? And like, it sounds like, and Krusty Krab in pocket, it sounds so insane, but we now know they've been selling the, like, that
they've
came
been
out. Like,
information
so,
and stuff, yeah.
It, like, this like, shit people, sounds...
Because you leave, sold it to them.
It sounds so tinfoil hatty, but like, straight up.
No, because like, people are like, oh, by the way, if you need like a blood sample or like extra blood, there's like people over here who've got like extra, like XY, that's not blood, AB negative stuff, over here. Fucking buy their blood.
It's the same with it's the same with people like.
We don't even need to go into the fucking weird blood blank fucking black market stuff, because that's a real thing.
That's
all.
That's a whole thing we might cover at some point.
But it's the same shit with like over 1 billion Facebook users spending all day tagging themselves and their friends' faces and basically just training a neural network to recognize faces.
This
that's
is also
money.
Why I
that's
think
why Facebook is free, because you're fucking training an AI.
If
to,
it's
you know,
free, you are the product.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Not only that, but why do you think fucking Throwback Tuesday became a thing? Because you help the AI recognize aging.
Yeah.
Well, straight up, Well, it's a fun fad,
This entire research paper kind of gets into like what they think the modern battlefield / crowd protest will look like, which they've completely failed to distinguish and openly admit that line will become increasingly blurred as time kind of goes on. They know that the new modern area of this battlefield is going to be happening through social media, the ability to control social media, facial recognition technology. And like, I have a small little list here. Well, I actually have quite a long list, but I've got the noogie kush of it kind of highlighted of specifically where they think that they're going to have to put all their eggs in, because this is the place where it's going to be important. Biometrics is one of the things that they openly biometrics. Like, and if you're familiar with conspiracy theories over like the last 10 years, you probably heard about the RFID chips and all that sort of stuff. They are openly stating
Lonan, I think you mean the Mark of the Beast.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You mean the Bill Gates no thanks injection? No thanks. So how do you mean the RFID injections?
But biometrics development is basically what the RFID chip is, what they were claiming it was back in the
no
day.
No more a cashless system in which your money is attached to a chip within yourself.
Yeah. So wait, you're not going to be able to bootleg booze at parties?
This is the thing. See, forget the chip thing. A cashless society, even if it's just by like external, like a debit card.
Oh,
that's fucked up, man.
You stop. Horizontal growth of people.
Yeah.
In economic sense.
It's extreme surveillance.
You stop it completely. Like, no, there's no way of anyone getting an upper hand without the government saying so.
How so? How do you mean?
Because in a cash society, people can work in a trade and get paid in cash.
Yep.
And that can go to like fucking helping pay there for a car they need to get a real job. Yep. Or so. But no, that's all stunted now.
This is
you
thing.
Only get to pay for what the government
says.
Oh,
it's massively controlled. Yeah. Like it's fundamental. Yeah. Like that's the point. But they want this biometrics. Like the RAND Corporation wanted to investigate this. Like you have to think about like what all this stuff is happening in tandem. When they're openly saying like, hey, we're going to go like get this fucking apartheid era war criminal who like specifically worked on eugenics projects. And we're going to use that technology in tandem with biometric development so that we can suppress crowds as they happen, mm-hmm. which they openly state is going to happen. They're like, we need to kind of get ahead of this technology. It's kind of happening. So some of the more stuff they come up with was smart dust particles, which kind of like microfiber ping you on like a surveillance network. So basically they spray the crowd with this microfiber
and
that
they
pings
can track
on
you
network,
back to your
and they
house.
Can track you for fucking weeks. So it's like that's a combination with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
They have like total, they call that the Total Information Awareness Network. They have all
best
these.
Best way to fight against that? Old school 90s rave suits.
Yes.
Just rip off his skin.
Fucking like, you know, like the old hazmat suits you used to wear at the rave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking wear your gas mask, wear your goggles, fucking party on, and as soon as that fucking protest is over, strip on down.
Yep. That's the only way that would stop that shit, man. And also, that would look hella cool.
But one of the interesting things that I found in this kind of research paper, like I was after listening, like they want to do the smart dust shit, they want to do like exoskeletons mm-hmm. is one thing they openly stated that they're interested in developing.
Cool. We're getting super soldiers in exoskeletons.
Yep. Yeah, we're getting robot suits. Like they came up with like what they call banana peel weapons, which is like a type of liquid pellet that's made out, like it has pepper spray in it. And when you fire it at the person, it also makes the floor really slippy.
Oh, lube them up.
Yep. So it's just like this weird eye-burning slip sauce.
Years, it's called soap.
No more tears. Wait, no, loads of tears.
No more tears. The one thing leftists fear the most.
Johnson & Johnson, cry.
Yeah. But man, they had like basically all this weird ass technology that they were working, and I was reading through the paper, and then it was like something that I came across. These weapons amongst the list are considered to be among the desirable, quote, future scenarios.
As opposed to what, man?
What they find desirable.
I read into their other two versions of the non-desirable futures of the technology as it kind of moves forward, and I was expecting to get fucking just wet, like wiggity shit, mm-hmm. like really, really bad. Their non-desirable future was the
future.
Like
socialist utopia.
Was the future where this shit wasn't necessary.
Are you serious?
That was the non-desirable
How is that justified in the paper?
Because they're here to sell weapons.
Yep.
They're here to sell weapons.
I guess.
At least they're honest
about it. Like, it's useful for us, I guess, but that's what I'm saying about that geopolitical bird's eye view. They're not even trying to, it's not propaganda. It's just a straight up, like, this is an investor's white paper to explain our motives to investors. We're not trying to, like, propagandize our motives. We're just saying this is how we sell that shit, you know.
They openly talk about the desirability of a Blade Runner like dystopia.
Oh my god.
And they use the quote Blade Runner.
No way.
Are you fucking serious? Like they actually,
because their probable dream is to actually have synthetic robot soldiers.
Well, the fucking privatization
that is horrifying.
They want the further and further privatization of it. The two desirable futures that they had was the one in which that the state was buying all their shit,
in
and
which
they get to
like
use
three
this
corporations
shit.
Run the entire.
But no,
United
there
States.
Was the two desirables were one in which the state has all the control and it keeps buying all their shit. And they keep using it. And then the other less desirable, but still on the desirable spectrum, was the one in which that it was like private policing corporations that's still buying their shit. But basically, it was like they didn't like the competition. Like that was what they didn't like. So it was like amongst the other two were in which that none of the shit becomes fucking necessary and everything goes great. And the other less desirable future that they had was the one in which that the, what was it? The do nothing scenario, in which that nothing really particularly changes and it doesn't get any worse, and they considered that not desirable.
Forever war, cool. Yeah,
they were like, oh shit, you know what would be really bad is if that cops didn't need exoskeletons.
Holy shit.
That would really suck for the bottom line.
Like, this is why I feel bad about, like, you know, conspiracy theorists who are like way off the beaten track and they're going to Bill Gates and shit, because like there's a lot, like, if you...
This actual company.
If you told us... If you told people what you just told us, they would not believe you until you showed them the published, open source, RAND Corporation white paper that says this stuff.
The PDF
multi-billion dollar corporation that are literally saying Blade Runner-esque dystopia is what we want. Because that doesn't sound true, and I know that it is. And, like, to anyone listening, look that shit up. Don't take our word for it. But that is absolutely, like, mind-bogglingly horrifying, man. I can't believe that's a real... That's, like, so... like boringly evil. It's like that trope, like boring dystopia. Yeah, it's like less fun when it's less Blade Runner-y when it's actually happening to you in your real life. That's crazy.
No, man,
man.
I really want, I like, I want to live in a world that constantly rains and nothing isn't everything but neon.
Word, that's good. That's dope.
I can't wait.
Yeah, give me that USB girlfriend.
I want
girlfriend,
the world to reflect how I feel.
Pathetic fallacy for days, you know. That's fucking, that's fucked up.
Jeez, I love being on this comedy podcast.
Oh, it's a comedy conspiracy podcast where it's not funny because it's fucked up and we've never ever said one conspiracy that wasn't provably true, so.
Also, it's a dark comedy. Thank you very much. Because
from Ireland.
Well, I guess, you know, to kind of wrap this up, I've got one small sliver of comedy that potentially we can get.
Oh, dear God, please.
This is the fucking palate cleanser that you've earned gotten this far. This is one of my favorite weird-ass riots that ever happened.
Weird-ass riots. Am I right, guys?
Weird-ass riots. Yep.
Weird-ass technology.
Damn right.
It was the Toronto clown and firefighter riot.
I did need this. I did need
I
this.
I literally almost did a spit take.
What? Toronto was a pretty rough place in the 1850s, but not so rough that the circus wouldn't come to town. As it turns out, circus entertainers are a pretty tough bunch too. So when a group of off-duty clowns spent an evening at a brothel that was popular amongst the firefighters in the city in July 12th, 1855...
I'm going to have to stop you for a second, because I know it's not true, but I still picture them in their big floppy shoes and their fucking face makeup.
Goddamn Canadian.
I can't come unless you squeeze the nose.
Tensions came to a head.
At least someone came to head.
Accounts differ now exactly on who started the fight, but after one firefighter knocked off the hat of a clown, things escalated.
So the clowns were wearing hats.
But after one firefighter knocked off the hat of a clown, things escalated to a full-on rabble intent on chasing the circus out of town. Firemen at the time were a private enterprise, and a lot of them were Protestant Orange Order men.
Of course they were.
Cool.
They love a good march.
Now, it appears that the clowns, largely speaking, were Catholic, and taking umbrage... and taking umbrage to the haughty ways.
Is this just the troubles you're sounding?
But they took umbrage to the haughty ways of the Orange Order men. The mayor eventually had to call in a militia to put an end to an uproar. The incident the Torontonians credited with kicking off a much needed local police reform. Only after a mass orange raid man raid on a big top in which that much clown blood was spilled after a massive fucking Orange Order cover up of their violence.
What the fuck?
And this heralded a massive police reform pretty much across the fucking Toronto, because a bunch of orange order proddies
like, oh, these uppity Irish clowns.
What
in
the
a
fuck
big top.
Guys, so, fucking shitting me, man.
Like,
come on,
if you stab a clown, do flowers just pop out of the room?
No, it's whitewash. It's continuous whitewash.
Just love the idea of like one of their cars, like a horse and carriage turns up, but then loads of clowns get out of
the fucking like siren, like in the honky honk. It's like brr.
That's not the first time this happened. Now, it wasn't clowns, but I think it's a story from New York.
But it was
from years
Belfast
years
fucking Catholics. Same difference in America.
No, it was generally in New York. Hot years take. Years ago, a load of like dock workers like were coming back from a funeral, a Catholic funeral, and a bunch of Protestant like policemen were driving past and they're like, oh, well, we've had a couple of whiskeys and we're not having this.
Yep.
And they just brawled for 3 days.
I do love this era of history. Like, there was like, I went through like lists and lists of like bizarre riots. There was one in which that like a bunch of doctors rioted because people started getting pissed at them for robbing corpses and like hanging up corpses in their windows and just basically playing with bodies. People were like, hey, that's really bad. And then the doctors are like, fuck you, I'm drunk. I just like rioted for days.
I've been drinking straight ether for 3 days. Yeah. There is no God.
There is so many weird ass ones, but the Toronto one I had to give it to because I was like, the Orange Order basically
been up on a bunch of clowns.
Yikes.
All right, man. So look, I guess that's our episode on riots.
Crazy, man.
Thank you so much for listening.
Never trust an Orange man.
And always trust a Catholic clown. We are the Krusty Crap Club Podcast. We love you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Woo! By Catholic clowns, do you mean, you know, the priest?
Oh, yeah, yeah.